Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
But I can tell you that today there's a revolt in the ranks of women's Gaelic games. Inter-county camogie and football panels have decided to play out the remainder of the 2023 championship campaigns under protest. The dramatic development follows the release of the State of Play report in April, which called for, among other things, governing bodies to develop a charter designed for female players to be implemented in the 2024 season. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by RTE's Gaelic Games correspondent, Marty Morrissey. Marty, you're very welcome to the programme. What is this story?
Thank you very much,
Cormac. What is this story as you see it?
Well, I think as you described, about 2 months ago, the Gaelic Players Association released the State of Play report, which highlighted significant issues with ladies football training and the camogie and ladies football training and playing environments. And at that time, the GPA asked the GAA, LGFA, the Camogie Association, to engage in discussions with the GPA to develop a charter designed for female players to be implemented in the 2024 season. Since then, from their perspective, there's been little or no movement. Now, the reaction has been swift from both the Ladies Gaelic Football Association and the Camogie Association, because they both issued statements very quickly this afternoon, stating surprise with the statement issued by the GPA. Some of the headlines from those statements: the mm-hmm. GAA and the LGFA and Camogie were asked to collectively commence discussions with the GPA following that announcement of the circulation of a memo to national governing bodies. A response was issued to point out that there were currently, everybody was in a process of integration, and certainly in a very a strong response. The LGFA takes issues with the suggestion which was made by the players today that they're treated like second-class citizens.
Because that's what they were saying, Marty, at the press conference earlier today. They said they weren't receiving the respect they felt they deserved. But there's also a question, or an uncertainty there was at lunchtime anyway, as to what form this protest would take. Is there any clarity on that?
There is no clarity at the moment. They're going to play the rest of the championship under protest. What the form of the protest will be, we don't know yet. I mean, one suggestion was maybe not cooperating with the media. Second one was maybe blocking out the labels of the LGFA and Camogie on the jerseys, or indeed delaying throw-in times. But certainly the LGFA and the Camogie Association came out strongly, particularly about the funding, because in 2023, over 1.4 million of government funding was allocated to the LGFA intercounty squads to assist with player expenses claims. Of this figure, 900,000, according to the LGFA, is allocated directly to player expenses, with almost 500,000 designated to LGFA team funding. And of that, and it was agreed at Central Council this year that the full LGFA allocation, 1.4 million of government funding, would be assigned to players' expenses for 2023. Likewise, I suppose the Camogie Association are saying something very similar. They also, Sinead McNulty, CEO of the Camogie Association, in an interview that I did with her this afternoon for news, for the 6 o'clock news, also expressed surprise at the statement, because they received from the GPA a presentation to their Corla only about 5 days ago. And they're fully committed to the integration process. They emphasised that. And they also emphasised about the funding, that the current intercounty government support scheme, intercounty camogie players are eligible for team supports worth up to 14,000 per annum, with annual expense of 1.6. So certainly, in my experience, it was a very fast and swift response from the LGFA and the Camogie Association to what the GPA were saying today and the players.
Yeah, it's disappointing, isn't it, for the fan, because there's an awful lot of progress being made, obviously, in the women's game in all codes, but in Gaelic games as well. But I suppose this will have to play out. We'll see how it does. Before I let you go, Marty, can I ask you about the draw for the preliminary quarterfinals? Made Galway-Mayo, in case people haven't heard the fixtures, Donegal-Tyrone, Cork-Roscommon, and Kildare and Monaghan. Some tasty fixtures in there.
Fascinating. And I mean, I notice out in the world of Gaelic games and the fans and supporters, there's often criticism, indeed sometimes myself, of Gaelic football. But what we got yesterday, the game I was at in Carrick on Shannon, was an absolute thriller. We had all the ingredients of Gaelic football between Galway and Armagh. And Galway now will be at home at Pearse Stadium to Mayo, who I have to say, I thought they would beat Cork, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. And now they find themselves travelling away to Pearse Stadium in a knockout game. Now, whether Sean Kelly is eligible to play, he was fantastic yesterday. Absolutely brilliant. From fullback, he's some player. Yeah. Now, whether he's able to recover in the time that's there, I don't have an update on that at the moment, but certainly there seems to be concern about his ankle. But there are some great games. As you said, Donegal, Tyrone, Cork, Roscommon, Kildare and Monaghan. The Tailteann Cup semi-finals are on in Croke Park. And we have two hurling quarter-finals at the Gaelic Grounds in Limerick.
Okay, so it's a lot to look forward to for sure. Yeah, and objectively, may I say, may the best Galway team win in that fixture between Galway and Mayo. Marty Morrissey, Gaelic Games correspondent, thank you very much indeed.